From Calvary Church of Santa Ana, this is the Calvary Life Podcast, the show where we share stories, tell jokes, and have discussions about faith, life, and God with people from Calvary Church. Here are your hosts, Eric and Matt.
All right, welcome to the Calvary Life Podcast. It is great to be here for an episode that I think you are going to love. My name's Eric Wakeling.
And I'm Matt Davis. And today we are here with former mayor of Orange and the current president of the OC Taxpayers Association. Don't even know what that means, but we're about to find out. Hello, Carolyn Cavecchi.
Hi, nice to be here.
We're glad to have you.
Yeah, very glad. So, hey, Carolyn, we know that, to us, you are much more than just mayor Carolyn Cavecchi, but you are just Carolyn. We love you.
I like it better that way.
That's
so
right.
That's good.
But why don't you tell us a little bit of your Calvary origin story. How did you make your way here to Calvary Church?
Well, so we've been here for over 30 years now. And when Rick and I were dating up at Long Beach State, we got invited. Weren't believers. Neither one of us were believers. And we were both on the crew team at Long Beach State. And one of the other oarsmen invited us to Grace Brethren Church in Long Beach. And Pastor Dave Hawking was our senior pastor. And Rick and I became believers. And years later, Dave came down here. We didn't follow him down. So we weren't one of those people who followed him from Long Beach. Just want to get that out there. But when we moved years later, we didn't have to church hop at all. We just knew exactly where our new home was going to be. And we've been at Calvary ever since.
Wow. So, yeah, you've been here. You've raised your family
here. Yeah. So it's our second home. We love it here.
Well, that's good. Well, we love having you here. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit of what is the story of how you got into this whole world of government and politics and your vocation?
Well, it's interesting because it never started out to be that. My background's in microbiology. That's what my degree's in. And worked in a lab for many years.
Are there a lot of mayors that have had that background in education?
I have never met anybody else with a hard science background at all. And it didn't serve me any good at all, except for the sanitation district. And I knew exactly how they were treating the poop. It worked out great for me. But well, other than that, no. But I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. My mom was a single mom raising two kids, and it was really important for me to be home because it was something I hadn't had. So when we had Kendra, we moved down to Orange when we were expecting her and came right to Calvary. And when we had her, I was a stay-at-home mom. And one day I walked into the Palm Market in the city of Orange.
Wait. So it's the Palm Market is, Matt, you live.
It's literally across the street from my house.
It's right across the street from your house.
We were just there getting candy bars this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's what we used to do. Yeah. Ice cream and candy. We'd walk in and Kendra noticed the pretty ladies on the adult magazines that were displayed at her eye level. And so I made my first call to City Hall and to find out, because when I was growing up, you always had either cardboard in front of them or they were behind the counter. And so I called City Hall and found out that there wasn't an ordinance or a law in Orange. And the mayor called me, which I get years later because I would return those calls very quickly too, and ended up sitting with a vice cop and an assistant city attorney. We wrote an ordinance, and that kind of got me involved in getting involved in the city of Orange. I got appointed to a couple committees and commissions, and the next thing I know, I'm looking at the council and deciding none of them go to the library on a regular basis, and I want the library open on Fridays. And so God really made it very evident to us as a family that this was the step we were going to take. And so we did.
It's interesting because you took your passions or your beliefs and you acted on them, right? I mean, that's really what got you into being involved.
And I think those are the best elected officials, not the ones who want to be in politics, but the ones who get involved because they're passionate about an issue.
Right. I love that.
Yeah.
And you saw some measure of success. I mean, we go to the Palm Market all the time now. Like,
Better not be any.
There's no magazines whatsoever, and the library is open on Friday. But I'm sure
nice big library too, right?
Yeah. Yes. That wasn't the library there before I was mayor.
Exactly.
We paid them lots of money in late fees. Yeah. Fantastic.
Well, thanks for funding that, Matt.
Yeah. Single-handedly.
But what was it like to then, first become a city council member? Was it a hard campaign? What was that process?
It was a very hard campaign. I won't go into details on directly elected mayors and why people move around in Orange, but when I first decided to run, there was supposed to be an open seat. And by the time the election started, it was a current mayor and a council member were both running for the two council spots. And so my goal was just to come in third at that point, because hopefully then I would get appointed to a short term that was going to become available. Mm-hmm. And I did. I was able to come in third. We walked a lot, knocked on a lot of doors in the city of Orange, walked a lot of neighborhoods. And I had been real involved, you know, on the Little League fields. And I wrote a weekly column for the Register's local Orange City News at that point for several years. And so we did a lot, came in third, and they didn't appoint me. Okay. Two of the council members wanted me, two wanted the fourth place winner. And so we went into the first special election in the history of the city of Orange. And that was an ugly election, I will say. Yeah, that was tough. It was very partisan, which it shouldn't be. And it was just hard. We were outspent a lot. It was tough. It was a tough election. We walked a lot again, knocked on a lot of doors. And I think the political powers in the county underestimated the powers of a bunch of ticked off moms. And that's really what had happened, is the moms of Calvary and the city of Orange kind of came around me. And we were outspent 3-1, and we beat them 2-1. And I was a council member all of a sudden, which was really shocking.
Wow.
Didn't expect to win. Actually, that night, election night, we didn't think we were going to win. So we took the kids down to the registrar voters on a field trip so that they could. Kendra had, I think, a Mr. Gertson, a history test the next day or something. We literally went to the registrar voters to watch the process, because I thought, let's get something out of this since I'm not going to win. And shocked, walked in, and we were already up so far that I had won already instantly. So it was pretty funny.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. And so then you served as a city council member for
almost 6 years, okay. A little less than six.
Okay, and then that's when you then became mayor.
Ran for direct elected mayor. We have directly elected in Orange. A lot of cities are going that way. And so was mayor for all three terms available, 6 years as mayor. So almost 12 years total, okay, on the city council.
Yeah, that's a good long term, and it's great to be able to make an impact, right?
I hope so. You know, yeah. Sometimes I look back and it was a really, to us as a family, it was a choice we made. We really felt God was asking us to do this. And you never know. Sometimes I wonder, you know, well, whether I'll ever know why God wanted me there at that time. Mm-hmm. But you just have to be faithful and kind of do it. And there are a lot of great things. It's fun to walk by. I mean, it's fun to walk by and see your name on a plaque, or to realize, you know, I helped that overpass come in. Or even recently, I'm going in 2 weeks. There's going to be a new parking garage opening in downtown Orange. And I started that. It's taken 12 years for it to get built. But they've invited me to come back for that. So sometimes you can kind of see. Other times you have no idea. You have no idea. You just do what you're supposed to and hope it works out.
What do you think's what's the part about, because you're involved in government, and you also love your family, but you're a follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
So what is that, you know, what are some of the challenges or even the joys of being a follower of Jesus and being involved in the political world?
Well, it's hard. There are believers in other cities. You know, we kind of recognize each other when we run into each other. But it is tough. It's a very corrosive environment. Politics is a corrosive environment. Hmm. It's hard, and it's very ego driven as well. So it's kind of tough and to keep your focus on why I'm there. You know, why does God want me here? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And focus on Him rather than focus on everything else that's going around you. But it is tough. It is hard. I always say it's one of those few jobs where you get invited to a big dinner and they announce your name and you stand up and everybody in the room applauds and you wave and you sit down. That can become a very ego-driven thing. And, you know, you watch it happen in the business across cities or the county or even the state level. Sometimes this job is maybe the highest position, you know, somebody's ever going to get. You know, mm-hmm. They maybe work at another job someplace and they happen to get elected and it's a big deal. And so the ego becomes very focused, and you really can't focus. I was really blessed. I have a great husband. He's super strong. And
he's awesome.
He's a great guy, and he a prayer warrior, huge prayer warrior. And he always kind of kept me in line. If, you know, you'd ever, you know, see me just drift a little, between that and the kids will kind of whack me back. And I think being a mom with young kids is also very down to earth. When I started, I got elected, Stephen was in kindergarten. And when I left, he was in high school, senior in high school. So his entire time was there. And the night I first got elected as an elected official, councilwoman again did not think I was going to win. So all of a sudden, woohoo, there's a party in Old Town Orange, and, you know, everybody kind of comes together because no one expected me to win. And I remember leaving feeling pretty good about myself. I was thinking, this is not going to be, but this is pretty good. Everyone's really liking me.
Step into this a little bit.
I can do this. And it was middle of the year. It was a special. And the next day, here at Calvary, was the kindergarten program. And Stephen was in kindergarten, and he was a door. I don't know. Now I don't remember what he was a door in. It was probably in a Mary Rice Hopkins song someplace. But we had painted this green door, and Rick had put a doorknob on it. And we painted. And the next day we woke up, and my dog had drug a wet door all around our family room.
Oh, boy.
And it was green paint over the dog, over everything. And I'm literally on my knees that next morning cleaning green paint off the tile. And it was like God had just said, okay, see? You know, you're not such a hot shot here. And it really reminded me, number one, to be on my knees. But you know what? All right, this isn't about me.
Right.
This is about something else. And we actually kept, I washed everything off except for one tile. And I kept green paint on that one tile for the entire 12 years I was in office. Number one, just to remind me to get on my knees on a regular basis, but to just keep God as the focus as much as I could. I mean, I wasn't perfect at it, but to keep him as a focus. And always remember, and I'd walk in the door every day and I'd look down and I'd see that green paint, and it would just kind of bring me home that, yeah, you know what? You can feel pretty good about yourself, and God can, you know, the whole thing get yanked out really hard if you're not following what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I think that's a good reminder for anybody, even people like people listening to this, that maybe they might not be the mayor of a city, but they might be involved in their business and leadership or in some role
pastors.
Like that. Yep. For us as pastors, it can be an ego thing. It's another job where you stand in front of people and people clap, and you also get all the really the bad feedback as well.
Yes. Well, politicians get too.
Exactly.
Yes,
and
very much so.
Yeah, you would get a lot of that. And so dealing with all of that. Yeah. But I think something like a green tile sort of image for any of us is important just to keep us down to the real, right? Yeah. Down to the real life. I know it's my kids for me, Carol.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't think I'm that special. They like to make fun of me, but
thank goodness we have some of those built-in humility factors that help out.
It's important.
Right?
It's good. Yeah, it's important. It's important to have those people in your lives to ground you.
Yeah. Yeah. I know like for us as pastors too, like that's a thing with our kids where sometimes even they can be
PKs.
Yeah, PKs pointed out. So you've got like PKs for politicians' kids.
The mayor's kids. It was tough. It was hard being the mayor's kids. I think the only time they ever liked it is I think when Stephen got pulled over once by OPD. And I think he managed to talk himself out of a ticket, which I was not happy to hear about. But other than that, it is hard on the families of elected officials. It was tough. Mm-hmm. Tough on Rick. Because again, being the wife of an elected official is different from being the husband of an elected official.
Yeah.
You go to events and you see the consummate politician with a wife, you know, right there. And that's kind of an expected, view. When you don't see too many husbands next to female electeds, and when you think about that on a regular basis,
sometimes
I even have to Google female electeds to see if they're even married, because you don't see the husband because there's a perception of weakness because a female needs her, the guy there.
Uh-huh.
So it's a different position, and especially when you're as strong of a leader as Rick is, it was hard for him to be able to take that step back a little bit. But he was the one person I could come home and burst into tears on the couch with and just sob for half an hour and then say, okay, I'm okay now. He was the one person I could do that with.
I love you guys that you have this strength in your marriage relationship. Yeah. We all got to go to Israel just a bit ago, and I just remember looking up, and we're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's kind of a moment for all of us.
Yeah.
And I turn around, and there you two are. You're kissing in the garden.
Wow.
But it was fantastic. I have a great picture I'll show you later of it.
That picture is framed, and when you walk in my house, that picture is sitting there for us to remember that moment. Yeah.
But I just love you guys have it, and not only have you guys, that's something you've worked at, but you are also part of our premarital ministry here, and you're pouring into that next generation of marriages and families. So that's a beautiful
That was
thing.
Rick wanted to. Rick was really focused on doing that. So we love him.
He's a good man.
So great.
He's a good guy.
So even the idea that this is like a church podcast and we are talking about politics, it's a weird, the whole political spectrum is just a bizarre, like, we can't talk about it as freely or as easily as we used to be.
Everything's changed,
right?
Last couple
so
of
like,
years.
Like, in 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, you would assume that you would walk into Calvary Church and everybody would have the same political alignment, same political feel, and it's just not the case anymore. Everything
no.
has changed. And so what is that like? How do you walk into these rooms? How do we as Christians have that unity? They'll know that we're Christians by our love. And we could be far right, far left, somewhere in the middle. Like, what does that look like for
us?
You
know, and I think as a church, as a family of believers, I actually think we're still transitioning. I don't know that we've got down what that's going to look like ultimately. I think we're in the middle of the transition because I think, you know, 5 years ago, you know, I think the comment would be, well, Jesus would be a Republican if he lived in California right now, right?
Right, yeah.
That's what you would hear from people.
Yeah.
And when you looked at party platforms and everything, I think, you know, people might say, yeah, most Christians are believers. Most Christians are Republicans.
Right.
And I don't think because of partisan stuff has changed so much. Mm. And candidly, I see that as a positive for the church because— To me, I look at it as that Christ and the Christian church is now attracting people that you normally wouldn't think you were attracting. So I think it's a positive thing for us as a body of believers because I think we're attracting people that politically we would never have seen before because, you know, they weren't one of us.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're willing to come. They want to be part of the believers. They're finding Christ in their life. They're walking with him now. And I think that's a positive thing. I think the problem is going to be is those of us who are here, how accepting are we going to be of those people because they may be registered in a different party than us. So the onus is on us
yeah.
as a church, those of us who have been here for a long time, in being accepting. And I think there's still, sadly, I think there's still some real resistance. I think we saw it a lot in the 2016 election. I mean, it was just ugly.
Yeah.
2016 was just an ugly, ugly election for a lot of different reasons at the national level. But,
right.
you know, for us as believers, you know, who cares what party you're registered to, right? We want to bring people to Christ. We want to have them be a part of us. The politics shouldn't even be involved in it. So I see it as a good thing for the church, a positive thing. But we better be willing to not have that, well, if you have a D or an NPP or a Green or whatever after your name, you can't be a believer because that doesn't make any sense
right.
at all.
And I think I might have just been naive to this, but I remember 2015, 16, somewhere leading up to that, we actually like gave people the opportunity to register here.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 40 plus people register, you know, to vote and all of that. And I would have thought, and this is just my own naivety talking, but I would have thought most of them would have been Republican. And it was like just over half.
Right.
And then we had Democrats. And we had some that were just in the middle and undecided, independent.
Right.
And that was even here at Calvary Church. Are there some guidelines? Are there like, this is how we talk, this is how we love each other? Do we just avoid all of this altogether or do we enter in?
Well, I don't know that, you know, you can talk about policy. I mean, I'm a policy nerd, so let's talk about policy at the federal
yeah.
level and stuff like that.
Right.
That's great. But politics is completely different. I honestly, I wish I could tell you what to do. I don't know how the church, because I think we're in the middle of this change. I mean, think about it. In the state of California right now, there's 25% of the registered voters are Republicans. That's it.
Okay.
So as Christians, do we want to say, oh, I'm sorry, man, you know, we're going to limit ourselves to 25% of the population of the state of California. That's all we're going to be working with. I mean, that's unbiblical, right? That goes against
yeah,
what Christ
absolutely.
Asks us to do. So we better be willing to reach out. And true believers who are focused on God's message, man, they better not be focused. I'll debate, you know, life, pro-life. I'll debate a lot of those issues with a lot of people and all the time. But, you know, a lot of the Democrat Party, a lot of them, there are a lot of pro-lifers that are registered Democrats. There
right.
are a lot of pro-lifers that are registered no party preference. There's a lot of that.
Yeah, and even the polarization is making it hard. I've heard these recent stories about pro-life Democrats. It's becoming hard for them to even stay in their party.
Right.
You know, just because of the polarization on both ends.
It is.
Right?
It's hard. And partisanship is changing. I think it's going to be fascinating
yeah.
to watch at the national level and at the state level. Because if believers want to be involved politically and they actually want to make a difference, especially at the state level, you're not going to get elected as a registered Republican. I mean, you're just not going to get elected. And so it's just, it's a fascinating concept. And I think it's limiting. I think it's limiting to the church. And I think it's limiting to God to say, you have to be this registered afterwards, or you have to support this candidate only because. I think it's limiting. And I never like to limit God. So
yeah. Amen to that. We don't want to limit God. And I definitely want us to be able to talk about these issues and principles and policies when necessary. You know, I really want to be able to talk about that and be able to have open conversations that are, you know, open to anybody to be able to have a voice in that within our church.
Well, you know, in the 2016, it was nationally, you know, it was an ugly election. And, you know, to have people, you know, have my kids have friends tell them, or have people look at me and say, well, you know, you can't be a believer unless you support this candidate. You know, I had, you know, and this goes back as a city councilman. I once voted against a Christian school expansion in Orange. And
we're going to need to cut the podcast off.
Yeah, really. I'm terribly sorry.
Thanks for coming by. This was Carolyn Kvecci.
Let me tell you why. I did it because...
The one my wife works at?
No, it wasn't actually. It was not at that one.
Or Calvary Christian School.
No, it wasn't at any. Okay. It was a school to not be named, but I voted against it because I had sat in the drop-off and pickup line at Calvary for so many years that I knew they had not adequately planned their drop-off and pickup line. And I knew it was going to pour out into the street. And I just said, look, I've sat in one for, I know how many kids I know. I mean, I'm just telling you, this is not going to work. And they had their votes to pass. Two of us voted no, three voted yes. And so they got it passed. And I literally walked down and I went up to the pastor to say, gosh, you know what? Best of luck. You know, I'm really sorry I couldn't support your product. And he literally physically, practically pinned me against the wall and put his finger in my face. And at this point, cops are like leaping over people to get to me. You call yourself a Christian.
Oh, man.
And yet you voted against this. And I remember thinking, wow, need to show me the verse that says, you know, elected officials must pass all. And the funny thing is 6 months later, they were back having to completely redo everything because the drop-off and pickup line did not adequately support the school. And they had to go back and they had to tear fences down and go into the play, everything that we had asked them to do at the beginning. So for me to have people put such a, you have to do it this way or you're not a believer, especially if it's not anything that's mentioned in the Bible, it's, to me, it's just ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. And so in the federal in 2016, it was just hard when people said, if you don't vote for this candidate, then you obviously must not love Jesus.
So it sounds like you're willing to do something about it.
I am. Well, you know, and it's funny because we've been talking for the last couple of months here in California, because there are so few registered Republicans in California. And because even the Democratic Party has gone so progressive that they're, like you said, there are even Democrats who are fiscal conservatives who feel that their party's kind of left them. There is this massive group in the middle who just want their tax dollars spent correctly. And that's what I do now for a living is I monitor how tax programs and government spending is done. That there is now a group who's looking at California to start a new political party, the third major party. And it's going to just focus on fiscal issues. And there's a lot of requirements to get a political party started, and I won't go into the details on that, but we think we can hit the numbers to get it registered. And then at that point, we're looking to run just a couple candidates in state assembly districts and state senate districts that are really matched up evenly so that we can break the majority, and so that both parties, if they want to get anything passed, have to go to this very small group in the middle.
Yeah, okay.
And so we're working on it. And I'm thinking by 2020, you're going to maybe see a couple candidates statewide, you know, in Northern California or Central California running for assembly districts and state districts. So, yeah.
When is this group? Are you ready to say what the name of
it is? No, you know, we'd have to probably do some polling to come up with what name's going to kind of would go. But no, there's some big minds that are actually former national elected officials that are meeting on this in California.
Wow.
And so it's been, I lay awake at night and run through marketing campaigns on how we would do this. Because for me, unfortunately, I just think the Republican Party, it's tough when you have that few people. There are more no party preference voters in the state of California than there are Republicans. So Republicans are now the third group. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to get those people in the middle. Fiscally, I'm not talking about social issues at all, just fiscal programs at this point. So, okay, yeah.
Well, interesting.
So if you have a name for this third party, you can email that to podcast@calvarylife.org.
Please, and give me some names.
And we'll buy you pizza if your name is chosen. How's that?
There you go. Perfect. Sounds good.
All right, great.
I don't know if that's an actual email address, but it sounds great.
It's not, but try it and see what happens.
What is an OC Taxpayer Association?
The Orange County Taxpayers Association has been around since the 1980s, and it's a countywide organization that's focused on tax-supported programs and government spending at the state level, the county level, all 34 cities in Orange County and all the special districts. And it's like I said, it's been around for a while. When I was leaving office, it became in 2012, it was very obvious that that what I had planned to do, God was saying, nope, I'm done. Mm-hmm. And so I went, okay. And for me, you know, it was at that point, I'd been out of the lab for a long time. So it'd be kind of hard to go back without getting some retraining, but I was open. I could, like
sanitation.
I told
you, didn't want to work in the sanitation department.
I would love to have worked in sanitation district.
But, we know some people. Yeah,
but for me, I could have folded clothes at Eddie Bauer and been completely, you know, I didn't need to do this, but I got approached by the board of directors of the organization, and they were looking to have someone come in and kind of take the organization and move it up to another level. And they'd gone through lists, and my name just kept coming up on the short list and the short list every time. And so I'd never run an organization before, so I didn't have association management planning, but I had really fallen in love with budgeting and fiscal issues, even though it wasn't my back.
Amazing.
Loved budget issues. Loved it. So
that's what we have in common, all three of us. It's really great.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see that.
Where's Pastor Michael face. Wells?
Yeah. Michael Wells.
Anyway. Love Michael Wells. Yes. Anyways, so I thought, this would be fun to do. And they hired me in 2012, and I've been with them for 6 years now. So we monitor bills in Sacramento. We monitor county spending, city spending, all of their pension stuff. But our main focus is on Proposition 13, which is limits what the amount of property tax that can be raised. And it was a huge issue in California. It's a milestone for us. And legislators in Sacramento are always trying to weaken it. And it'll be the death knell to homeowners in Orange County. So that's our biggest focus, is keeping Proposition 13 in place and protected. And
that's another job where you probably get people that don't like you very much, right? Some. And then some people that love you.
Some people love me. Most of the people really love me. But there are some who don't, because we do point out stuff.
Right. That's what I mean.
Right now, I can just say there are some on the County Board of Supervisors that don't care for me very much, because we've gone to Sacramento, pass some bills because we didn't like what they were doing. And so every once in a while, I have to kind of go into a city or a special district or county or whatever. So, and they're not real happy with it, but
makes sense.
It's, it is what it is. My job.
Yeah.
From a government seat, you obviously dealt with and know of churches in Orange when you were there. What, what's the hope from a government leader's perspective? What hope does the church have to offer their city, and what can we be doing, and who can we be as Calvary Church for Santa Ana?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that churches can do is pray for their elected officials. And I know that maybe sounds like a trite answer, but it's not. Mm. I mean, it is so important to be praying and to have a relationship with the elected officials. And Calvary Church, I mean, we're Calvary Church of Santa Ana, but, we pull members from, Orange, Villa Park, Tustin.
Yeah.
There's quite a few. So the biggest thing is to have a personal relationship with the elected officials so that they know you're there for them, you're coming alongside them, and you're going to pray for them. And then that's your only motive. There was a group in Orange. We have a great group of pastors in Orange. I used to go the National Day of Prayer, in May. I used to go on the steps of the city hall. They'd pray for us. And I had two ladies who came every single council meeting for 12 years and prayed with me before every single council meeting. We had time in prayer. And if they couldn't make it, they made sure a pastor came. But it was St. John's Lutheran Church, two ladies from St. John's Lutheran for 12 years. I would walk in on a Tuesday, and they were sitting there, and we prayed about everything. We prayed what was on the agenda. We prayed for my family. We prayed for families of staff members, And to know that St. John's was doing that and those ladies were there, it was an amazing thing to have those women with me, every single councilwoman. And to know that, you know, pastors knew who I was and that they were upholding the city in prayer. And they didn't worry whether I was voting for their school expansion. They just cared about.
They just
cared about us. And I think that's the biggest thing as that Calvary Church can do for elected officials is just provide that spiritual support so that those people know. Because it's tough. I mean, it's a tough job. It's hard. People, we've had phone calls at our house before. We've had our kids, people have called. And one particular night, I came home and Rick was beside himself. Someone had called and made comments about the kids. They didn't like something I'd voted for. So you're really kind of out there. And especially a city the size of Santa Ana or even Orange, it's tough.
Yeah.
You really can't go anyplace without getting recognized. You know, for a while there, Home Depot or Albertsons or Target, I just like to go in my sweats, and you couldn't do that, because people would stop you and yell at you or praise you or talk to you, that type of a thing.
Right.
So, yeah. So prayers, to me, that's my first thing I can think of is the pastors that prayed for me all those years, and I knew they were there.
That's good.
And I knew they were doing it, yeah.
Do you have any advice for all of us parents out there? Because you've raised some pretty incredible kids. Like
God's grace, man.
Yeah, we love your kids. Yeah. You guys have done well. I know it's God's grace, of course. But
Rick and I talk about it all the time, and we are kind of shocked because we both come from kind of interesting families. I mean, both our families are really, boy, I could lay on the couch here and we could spend a lot of time talking about our families. I wish I had a magic bullet. But you know what? I think we just loved our kids to death, and we had a lot of fun with them. And we raised them knowing, we always talked about this, is they're going to leave when they're 18. And the goal was for them to go away to college. We wanted to make sure that at 18 they went away. And so our goal always was they got to be ready to go away at 18. Mm-hmm. And so I think that helped us candidly loosen the strings a little bit. The closer they got to 18, we were always the parents that at a certain time they didn't have curfew, because when they're at the University of Washington, there's not going to be any curfew, and we'd rather they made the mistakes with us there that we could kind of be there to help pick them up a little bit.
Right.
So we didn't hold on as tight as I think a lot of other families did. We were a little bit looser in that realm, but that's not to say our kids ran wild, because they didn't run wild.
No.
But I just think we had a lot of fun. I never, I'm not the best housekeeper in the world. If you come to my house, you'll see it, and I've got two large mastiff dogs that drool on everything. So, but it was always that way. And so I never worried that much about, I figured if the clothes could be wrinkled coming out of the dryer, but they were clean at least. Right. So I never really worried about how rooms looked or what the house looked like if we could just spend time together.
Right. And that don't sweat the small stuff.
We just didn't sweat the small stuff. We really didn't. We sweated the big stuff. We picked our battles. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say the kids made some big mistakes. I mean, we struggled with a couple of things with the kids, but they're all following the Lord, which at that point, what else do you want for your adult
kids, all that matters,
right?
Yeah.
Is that.
And a couple of them, though, have been involved in the world of government and politics, which is interesting that. And you must have not made it sound like the worst job on
earth. And it's funny. And I always say, people always laugh and they say, your kids followed you. And I always say, no, my kids followed Mr. Gertson, who's a history teacher here at Calvary.
That's right.
And to me, he really is the one, I think, who gave them the love for government service.
Right.
I think, if anything, having them watch what I went through was tough, but he really inspired both of them. And it's funny because neither of them are in politics. They staff.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kendra now is a stay-at-home mom, which is great. But Willie is up in the state of Washington. He's an elections administrator, and he's non-political, nonpartisan. For him, it's just the sacredness of the vote and preserving that. That's a big thing. So. Yeah, they're kind of in it, but they're great. I appreciate it. It's nice to know. Yeah, we're just completely joyful with those kids. They're the best.
That's great. I'm probably one of the few people that has asked, maybe people do, but I ask Willie question after question in details about what his job is.
Yeah.
It's actually really fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Yeah. He's smart about it. He knows what he's doing.
He knows the stuff, man. He's he's brilliant. I mean, Will is the brilliant one in our family. We're all in awe of him.
That's awesome. Well, they're great. Okay, one last question, how about?
All right.
What is this about that you got a varsity letter in a men's sport in college?
I did. One of the few women who varsity in a men's sport. Yes.
Well, what do we get more than that?
You know, and it's funny because I was the coxswain of the men's eight crew team at Long Beach State University. That the coxswain's the one who sits in the back of the boat and with a megaphone and
yells at people.
Yells at people and steers the boat. And that's how I met Rick. Rick was the oarsman who was sitting directly in front of me that I was yelling in his face. And so he just decided, what the heck?
I want that the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I just want exactly what he said. Literally. You ask him, that's exactly what he says. He goes, I got used to her yelling at me every morning. I figured, what the heck? I'm just going to put up with it for the rest of my life. So, yeah. Aww. So I did. I varsity my freshman year in college, men's sports. So, great. Yeah.
Well, we are really grateful to you for this time and just your involvement here at Calvary as well, of course. And your whole family is just an amazing family in my eyes.
Good people.
Thank you.
I love the Kvetchy family.
Thank you.
Yeah, so maybe we'll
love Calvary.
Yeah, great. Well, maybe we have to hear more in the future if, you know, political parties are started and we want to learn more about that.
I can come and quote numbers anytime you want.
And I hear there's another election next year, so maybe we'll be talking about this
they
more.
They tend to come at least every 2 years, if not more.
Yeah. That's true. All right. Well, thank you so much, Carolyn.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.
Thanks again for joining us on the Calvary Life Podcast. If you enjoyed our show this week, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. If you want to learn more about Calvary Church or share any of your thoughts, check us out on our website at calvarylife.org or find us on one of our social media accounts. We're on Instagram at calvary_church, Facebook at Calvary Church of Santa Ana, and Twitter at Calvary Life.